Welcome to episode 1173 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Thank you for joining us for our special series, 1010 with Jesus, A Deeper Look. The air in Caesarea Philippi was thick with a strange mixture of ancient history and pagan idolatry. Tall, majestic mountains loomed, their shadows falling over the vibrant green slopes. But below, nestled by the springs of the Jordan, stood shrines to Pan, Caesar, and other gods, their silent stone eyes bearing witness to a different kind of worship. It was a fitting, stark contrast for the conversation Jesus was about to initiate. Jesus had led his disciples away from the bustling crowds, seeking a moment of quiet, perhaps by a cool spring or beneath the shade of some trees. The 12 men, dusty from their journey, gathered around him, their faces reflecting various degrees of weariness and anticipation. He looked at them, not just as followers, but as the foundation of something new.
"Tell me, disciples, when you are out among the people in the villages and towns, what do men say that the Son of Man is? What are the rumors that reach your ears?"
"Some say you are John the Baptist, risen from the dead. There is a fear among the authorities since his passing, and your boldness reminds them of him."
"Yes, and others believe you are Elijah. They speak of the prophet who is to come before the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and your miracles fit that prophecy."
"Some even say Jeremiah, or one of the other great prophets. You speak with their fire, their conviction."
"They feel a stirring, Rabbi, a hope. They know you are from God, even if they cannot name you."
Jesus listens to each answer, his gaze steady. He nods, acknowledging the accuracy of their reports. Then his voice shifts, becoming more direct, more personal. He looks from face to face, holding their eyes.
"These are what others say, but now tell me, you who have walked with me, eaten with me, seen what you have seen and heard what you have heard, who do you say that I am?"
A heavy silence falls. The disciples look at each other, some shifting their weight, others staring at the ground. This is a question that cuts deeper than any they've heard before. It's not about popular opinion. It's about their own personal conviction. Peter, ever impulsive, is the first to gather his thoughts, his face suddenly alight with conviction.
"You are the Christ, the Son of the living God."
The other disciples look at Peter, then back at Jesus, a mix of awe and recognition on their faces. Peter's words articulate what many of them might have felt but dared not speak, or perhaps fully comprehend.
A wide smile spreads across Jesus' face, a look of pure joy and affirmation. He looks at Peter with immense tenderness and solemnity. "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. For this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, by any human wisdom or insight, but by my Father who is in heaven."
Jesus pauses, allowing the weight of this divine revelation to settle. He then turns directly to Peter, his tone becoming momentous.
"And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it."
The disciples lean forward, captivated by these words.
"I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven."
"Jesus, I do not understand."
"Now listen closely. Do not tell anyone that I am the Christ. Not yet. The people have their own ideas of what the Messiah should be, and they are not yet ready for the truth of what is to come."
"Who do people say the Son of Man is?" Jesus asked his disciples. They answered with what they had heard. Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. These were flattering answers. Important figures from Israel's past. But none went far enough. Then Jesus asked the question that cuts to the core of every disciple's journey. "But who do you say I am?" There was a pause, a silence perhaps. Then Peter stepped forward. His voice was bold, certain, even shocking. "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." This was not a casual response. It was a spiritual revelation, and Jesus affirmed it. "This was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven." Peter had received divine insight. He saw not only the teacher, not only the miracle worker, but the Christ, the anointed one, the very Son of God. This is the heart of discipleship. It's not simply admiring Jesus, quoting his teachings, or following him from a distance. It's coming to a point of personal recognition and response. You are the Christ. You are my Savior. You are Lord. Faith is personal. It's important to note that Jesus didn't stop with, "Who do others say I am?" He made it personal. In every generation, people have opinions about Jesus. Some see him as a moral teacher, others view him as a revolutionary. Many admire him, and some dismiss him. But Jesus wasn't interested in general consensus. He wanted to know, "What do you believe?" We too must move beyond inherited faith or borrowed opinions. We must come to a place where we answer the question for ourselves, "Who is Jesus to me?" Not just our parents' Jesus, not just our church's theology, but the Jesus who has revealed himself to us personally. Revelation is a gift. Jesus told Peter that his confession came not from logic, but from revelation. "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven." This reminds us that faith is not something we manufacture. We don't come to know Jesus by intellect alone. Spiritual truth is revealed. The Holy Spirit opens our eyes to see Jesus for who he really is. When we recognize Jesus as the Christ, it's not because we're smart, lucky, or better than others. It's because the Father has drawn us, spoken to us, and shown us grace. Our faith is a gift, and it should fill us with humility and wonder. The church is built on this confession. Jesus went on to say, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." There has been much debate over whether this rock refers to Peter himself or to his confession. What is clear is that the confession is foundational. The Church of Jesus Christ is not built on personality, performance, or power structures. It is built on the revealed truth that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. This is the solid ground. This is the unshakable truth. And it is on this truth that Jesus builds a community so powerful that not even hell can destroy it. The church may face opposition, persecution, and decline in popularity, but it will never be overcome. Why? Because it is built not on human strength, but on the revelation of who Jesus is. Authority flows from identity. Jesus told Peter, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven." Keys represent authority. Jesus was entrusting his followers with spiritual power, but that authority flows from identity. Before Peter was given keys, he had to know who Jesus truly was. And this remains true for us. We often want influence, power, or effectiveness in ministry. But true authority begins with right confession. When we know who Jesus is and walk in that truth, we can walk in boldness and spiritual authority. Jesus still asks the question today, "Who do you say I am?" It's not just a question for Peter, it's a question for each of us. When life is good and when it's hard, who do you say he is? When prayers are answered and when they're not, who do you say he is? When the world doubts, mocks, or ignores him, who do you say he is? Your answer matters. It shapes your eternity, and it shapes your identity. Peter's confession led to a commissioning. Jesus saw in him more than failure or flaws. He saw a man who would help lead a movement, a man shaped not by his past, but by his confession of faith. Let's get deep. Jesus asks us not to recite facts, but to proclaim faith. And faith begins with seeing Jesus rightly. The world will always have opinions, but the church is built on revelation. And when we truly confess Christ, everything changes. Our role, like Peter's, is not to be perfect, but to believe, to follow, to proclaim. Let us cling to the confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Let us stand firm on that rock when everything else shakes. And let us be part of the church Jesus is building, one that cannot be overcome. Father, thank you for revealing to us the truth about your Son. Thank you for opening our eyes to see Jesus, not just as a teacher or prophet, but as the Christ, the Savior, the Son of the living God. Strengthen our faith, Lord. Help us to make this confession not just with our lips, but with our lives. Build your church in and through us. And may our hearts always respond with Peter's boldness and belief, "You are the Christ." That's our episode. Remember, God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full. Today.